welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. Today, we're exploring the law of above and below, within and without, with Sanat Kumara. This ties in with the universal law of balance and divine accordance with mind, will, and heart, above and below. I'm excited to get into this because by the definition of the Council of Love, this law speaks to the fact that none of us would even be here unless we've decided at some point to step into the fullness of who we are. Balance calls for outward expression of our brilliance, and the moment is ripe for us to accept the truth of this and to take appropriate action. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. We'll continue taking callers by area code, so when we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the Council of Love statement that what's been healed in heaven will be healed on earth. And who better to help us find that out than my wonderful friend Linda. Good morning.
Good morning, Susie. Yeah, this is one of my favorite laws, actually, too, to talk about. And I think it's got a lot of meat to it. And, you know, so often people will infer or refer to, you know, the law of above and below. But we don't really, I don't think, often enough take the time to sit and ponder, as my friend Mary would say, what that really means. Is that everything that's going on within us, with us, on our planet, if we were in accordance with this law, would be a reflection of what is above. And similarly, what is within us is outside of us as well. And, you know, I think that's probably one of the most significant pieces of the shift out of the old third, is that, as we know, that the old third has not been in accordance with that law, that what has been, well, we have pockets of it and examples of it and moments of it, but generally speaking, what's going on the planet, you know, for the last couple of thousand years or longer, has not really been a reflection of the divine reality at all.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a really interesting topic.
It is. This is
and
like,
I think, you know, one of the things, well, that Universal Mother Mary says, that Archangel Gabriel says, and certainly that Sanat Kumara says, is that I don't think that we as individuals truly, fully believe that we are an absolute reflection of divinity.
It would be a toughie for us to really embrace that without having evidence, because even those of us who are not concrete linear thinkers, you know, everything that we're doing now just seems to be going on trust and faith, and I'm sure that many, even the most steadfast of servants of the light, are really, really looking for some, longing for some tangible evidence of this.
And yet I wonder, and this is just me wondering literally out loud, what do we think the company of heaven, the angels and the archangels, go on if not hope and faith and trust? I don't think they really are attached to the tangible.
Yeah. I've wondered about that, too. I've wondered also about the group mind aspect of, you know, being in the higher realms, that they get it much more. I mean, they, you know, so here on Earth, we're versions of our higher selves and getting closer to living as though we understand and embrace that, but they're already there. So maybe it's just a further progression along the path to back to source. You know?
Yeah, I think exactly that it is. But for us to think, you know, the divine qualities, the 13 blessings and virtues. That's a description of how the higher realms live. I mean, those are the qualities. That's their everyday.
Right.
And it can manifest, well, obviously it can manifest, you know, through the mother in the creation of galaxies. But the starting point of what they're working with and how they operate are those divine qualities. And one of the things that I'm hoping that you and I are going to achieve, and Snakmar and the Council of Love are going to achieve during this series, is to see the similarity or the link-in between what's universal law and those divine qualities. Because really, they're very much mirrors
yes.
of one another. They're not exact mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
They don't one-to-one, but they're mm-hmm. very clearly this, you know, I think of the divine qualities as, you know, the blessings and virtues that we delightfully spent so much time on. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, this is how we live. This is how you can live and embrace your divinity. And the laws are the framework, you know,
mm-hmm.
the how-to, the operational manual, basically, on how things work. And
that's exactly it.
Yeah. And somehow that gets lost. So even when we look at a, you know, a human law, I don't know, let's choose something outrageous, like some of the clauses in the Homeland Security Act, for example. I really get outrageous today, right? This is political, Linda. But you look at some of those clauses where, you know, people have the right in the middle of the night to come in into your home, interrogate you, perhaps even take you away, lock you up, and never tell a soul or bring actual charges. Now, in what way would that be in accordance with the law of above and below?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in our human everyday self, and I think this is where, you know, the practicality of it's coming forward, we don't just say, well, that's the way it is, or, you know, oh, that's terrible. But we as a collective, and that collective mind you're talking about, at what point do we say, this is not in accordance in the slightest with the design and the manual for this planet and for this universe? Therefore, it is completely unacceptable, and you bring down, you shift, you vote out of office. I don't care how we term it, but we don't accept that that's a way to live, a way to operate. You know, particularly I think as Americans, we're really good at pointing out to the atrocities or the inequalities that occur in other countries. And we look at it and we point our fingers and we say, this is heinous. How could this happen? And yet, we're not taking care of our own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And how that starts is, of course, taking care of our inner self. It
Oh.
all comes back to ourselves.
Exactly.
And how we live and how we're operating.
Yeah, so my way of coping with the news and the chaos, and not that I really follow news, but there's some that you really just can't help but hearing about. So my way of dealing with that, and also the questions that come into the inbox, I feel that my best and highest is to live as though I'm already in the higher dimensions, okay, and just to...
Mm-hmm.
To be love and see myself as love and light, okay? So that really fits into the within without, because what I've noticed is that the closer I get to an acceptance of that's who I am, that's what I see and notice in the world around me and the people around me. It's
yeah.
really amazing and brilliant. So
the starting point is our sacred self.
Exactly.
I was fascinated yesterday. I listened with Archangel Gabriel's discussion. Now, again, this is the Linda take on it. But when she was talking on Hour with an Angel, and I think the question was about how do we trust and how do we proceed in trust when there has been so much, basically, lack of truth or dishonesty. And her response, again, from my perspective, sitting here listening as the channel, was, well, do you not practice free will? What do you choose to do?
Yeah.
And you know, we see that in a really practical, small microcosm is like we've all had friends, or we've all said it ourselves, is, you know, we've been in a love affair that didn't turn out, and therefore we say, well, we're never doing that again. I'm never going to be in relationship again. I'm never going to allow myself to love again.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we say it, and we know when we say it, we're in high drama, but that's a very sorry statement.
Yeah.
It's as if to say, well, because I was disappointed and brokenhearted once, I'm never, ever going to take a chance and exercise my free will to love again.
Right.
And that's so unloving of ourselves.
Well, it's just fear. It's fear.
It's fear. And it's time to let go of the fear, because what I do know about the law of above and below, I do know that in heaven and in the higher realms and even in the higher dimensions that we've been talking about, in the fifth, fear doesn't exist.
Right.
Is there valor and courage? Huge. Enormous.
Right.
But there's not fear. There's not anger. That's not to say that there aren't moments that the other side gets frustrated with us. I think they get frustrated with us more than we know. I think they're really good at managing their frustration or angst a lot better than we are.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting law. And it's also this understanding and incorporating right into our bones is that those desires that we have to create, we have them because we brought it from above.
Right.
And at the same time, it exists already in the universe.
Exactly, and we just don't realize our power. There's, I guess, because of the conditioning of lifetimes or whatever, but it's very difficult for many, okay, like you said, to think of ourselves as divine beings. But if we could step into that even just a little bit and realize, okay, that we are made of love and we are made of light, and if we just offer ourselves in service to the light, there's nothing that can happen to us. There's nothing that could, you know, take us down, and the more we embody that and the divine qualities, the more we help the collective, okay,
mm-hmm.
the service, and whatever work we do on ourselves. And pretty much that's our only power at this point, is to work on ourselves. But it's a huge power. And by working on ourselves, the ripples go out into everywhere, all of creation, but especially the rest of the human collective.
Yeah. And it does. I mean, it starts with working on yourself, with loving yourself, with accepting yourself, and just knowing that even though that human side of you, that ego side of you, may think, well, I better fix this and this and this, that in fact, you're perfect.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to be healed to be a healer. Certainly is great to do our personal work, and that's why we've been asked to do so much clearing, and these frequencies are kind of forcing us to do our clearing and stripping it away from us. I'm sure that you know, any listener could probably attest to the fact that even a month ago, their understanding was different than what it is now. I would say if there was a survey taken, even in 1 month, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, things are shifting very, very quickly now.
Yes,
and I think most of that shifting, yes, we're seeing it in the external, but most of that shifting is also really the big work is being done internally in the within.
Speaking of internal and within, do you think it's a good time for meditation?
I think it's a great time for meditation. And I think we're going to go back to those walls of our heart.
Okay.
Thank you. So everybody take a nice deep breath. And this morning we're being led to deal and to breathe with magenta. Magenta is that perfect balance of color between the blue and the red. It's the color of a good red wine, of a grape juice, maroon, of fall chrysanthemums. So relax into your chair, onto the floor, into your bed, into your office seat or your car seat. Just relax and feel the tension easing away. And with that tension, I want you to let go of that feeling, am I doing enough? Am I doing it right? Am I on track? Just breathe it out and let it go. And to feel your jaw relax and your neck, your shoulders, bring them down. And breathe in this wonderful color of magenta. And magenta is the color of Jesus, our beloved Yeshi, the Buddha and Lord Maitreya. Breathe it in, and as you exhale, feel your energy sinking down into your heart, deeper and deeper, as you let go of the week ahead, your to-do list, and give yourself that red wine color, that gift of time, of simply being here with your circle in our sacred space. As you go deeper into your heart, I want you to once again see that tiny, tiny dot, that pinprick of light in the center or towards the bottom of your heart, the seat of your soul. And feel yourself moving towards that pinprick of light in your heart, as if you're flying, bringing all your energy, all of you, in through that pinprick, through that portal of white light, to the inner corridors of your blessed heart, of your sweet self, and breathe. Once again, here we are. And see the walls of your heart that are golden. It's the gold of Gabriel, that Florentine gold, the gold of Yahweh, and the gold of Sanat Kumara. And there is tons of writing, of symbols, of pictures, of messages on these walls. And this is where you have come and will come again and again to understand not only your sacred purpose, but your intent. This is where you formulate and come to understand on a completely different level your mission and purpose and desires. I want you to sit down. Sit down in one of these wonderful chairs or pillows that are placed in this vault of your heart. And take a nice deep breath of magenta. And go deeper. I want you to think, to feel, to allow to float to the surface something that your heart desires. And don't simply go with the first thing that arises. Go deeper. A desire that you have held hidden in your heart, perhaps for a long time. Perhaps it's a desire that you brought with you when you incarnated, and you want it so desperately, so deeply, that you don't even speak about it or think about it, because the thought of not having it, of asking for it or working on it and not succeeding, is too devastating. And go deeper. Bring up that heart's desire, and it can be physical or spiritual, emotional. Just let it come forth in your heart and let your mind know about it too. Now, staying in your heart, in this wonderful place of love and safety, I want you to look, to feel, to observe, way out into the universe. Not just on Gaia, but using your third and fourth eyes and your sensors and your heart, because your heart has the ability to see. Look out into the vastness of the universe, of deep space. And locate where, either on Earth or far beyond, throughout the heavens, where that desire is located in the without. You have the desire within. Let's find it in the vastness of the without. So take a minute. You can do this. It's not a matter of if it's there. It's there. Now with your hands, your arms, reach out and gently, lovingly, sweetly bring into your hands that heart's desire the same way you would pick up a little lost kitten in a bush. Pick it up. And bring it across the multiverse. Bring it into your heart right now. Through that pinprick portal of light. Directly into your heart. Knowing that you now have the composite energy, the tangible, to bring this forth into your physical reality. Thank it for coming to you, for sending that locator beam. And promise that you will birth this and bring this forth into the physical reality of your life in accordance and by invoking the universal law of balance, of within and without. And then when we're ready, just feel the warmth of that gift. I am Sanat Kamara.
Welcome.
And welcome to each of you. Welcome, my brothers and sisters of my heart, of my journey. And welcome to this time, not only of the study of universal law, for it is my joy to be your teacher and your guide. But what we are also undertaking with each of you is the practical, and that is why we have done this exercise this day. It is a time, my friends, of fruition. and of bringing into your life, your world, your reality, which is a fifth dimensional reality. Not only the understanding of how the law works, but the practicality of how you work with it in order to create, in order to bring forth, yes, what your heart desires, but also Nova Earth, Nova Human. Yes, even new you. The beauty of each of you is you are not simply a fragment of who you are above. And we don't know how many times we will have to say this, but we will say it until it is firmly anchored within your knowing conscious self. In this lifetime, in this incarnation, you have brought the fullness of your soul design, the totality of your being, into form. Now, how is this different than other incarnations, other journeys, and other planets that you have made with me and with others? There are times, because each of you, let me preface this by saying that each of you have an enormous array of talents, abilities, capacities. In previous incarnations, there were times when you would say, well, I am going to incarnate and I am going to contribute to the greater understanding of humility and piety. And so you have chosen circumstances, whether they are financial circumstances or a lack of talent or being in a situation where you were having to practice humility. And I do not mean that you were a monk or a priest or a nun, because sometimes the greatest humility has to be practiced by kings and queens. So you created situations where you did not bring the fullness of everything, of who you are, think of it as above, with you, in order to build for yourself, but usually for the collective, trying to break the paradigm of the old third. You didn't bring all of you so that you would be able to do this and to learn more deeply and to teach by example and devotion more deeply. That is not true in this incarnation, in this period of ascension. Now, let us also be very clear. You never left the spark of your divinity at home. That is not possible. So whether it is you, my beautiful light worker circles, my love holders, you have never left your spark of divinity, of oneness at home, and neither has anybody else, even if they are behaving and lost in the darkness and behaving in atrocious ways, It does not matter. Their spark of divinity is still within them and always has been. But in this incarnation, and we are not simply speaking for a select few, we are speaking for all of you, because this is the time of ascension of Gaia, ascension of the kingdoms, ascension and completion of this chapter for humanity as well. And everybody is on high alert and standing by for this completion. So as you came, we have told you, you are not simply masters in the making. You have brought the totality of your mastery in a wonderful diversity of ways to the planet. So you are fully the reflection, the embodiment of that spark of love that you are above, say, in heaven. And certainly the totality of your being as you are in the what you think of as higher dimensions. You do not lack anything. Now, in the physical form that you have chosen and designed, yes, in concert with your guides and with the Divine Mother, and in concert with those that you are choosing to incarnate with, you designed your body, your physicality, your wherewithal, your container, in a certain way. And there are some of you that we listen to and we hear you say, well, this is not perfection. This is not the way, I am sure, it is not the way I appear in heaven. The contents of the container are the same. And the design is perfection. For what you wish to be a reflection of, and what you wish to communicate that will act as a catalyst, not only for your ascension, for your completion, for your jump, but also for others. So there are those of you who would say, Sanat Kumara Raj, I cannot believe that I chose to come to this planet with this disability, with legs that don't work. And I would say to thee, yes, you did. And you may have come in this representation to simply activate the collective compassion or humility, or to work with the laws of change, of transmutation, of elimination. But there have been no errors. First of all, the mother doesn't make mistakes. And in your divine self, my friends, neither do you. And yes, we have often heard this. Oh, I am sure I made a mistake. I came to the wrong family. No, you didn't. Now, did the exercise of old third-dimensional reality and free will perhaps affect the outcome? Most definitely. But do not think it was a mistake. There aren't any. Now, anchoring and accepting this truth whether you are black, white, yellow, tall, short, impaired, brilliant, that you are the exact replica inside the container of your divinity is a very important starting point. And within that container, within your heart, in the understanding of your very specific and unique mission and purpose, are those desires of what you wish to bring forth, what you wish to experience. And everything that is in that basket, everything that is in that basket of desires that is of truth, not ego, and not lack, is ready for you. It is within you, and it is also without. It is also existing, either in the universe or upon your planet. And you are as capable as drawing something across the universe, which you have just done, as hailing a taxi. The greatest obstacle that we face with you and that you face is you accepting how powerful you are, that you have this innate ability. That is why we speak of universal law, creation formulas, divine qualities. We are simply your memory joggers. We are your assistants. This is part of our service to the Mother. Because in her design, what has occurred is that you are the embodiments. You. Not Saint Germain, not Saint Teresa, not myself, even as planetary logos. You are the embodiment of the fulfillment of her plan. Each of you. Now, this is not meant to send you in a tailspin or put a mantle of such responsibility upon your shoulders that you feel that you are overburdened. This is the dance where you say, I am doing what my heart desires, how I am led, because this is in direct alignment with who I am above and right here and now. And if there is any variation, I will correct it. Stop doubting yourselves. You do not spend a great deal of time working with universal law. But what I am asking of you is particularly with this law of above and below, within and without, invoke it because it brings forth that alignment and it begins to bring it forth in tangible reality. Each of you has a magnificent mission. You may think of it as small, but it is never viewed that way from our perspective. So when you are doing this, you are fulfilling your sacred purpose, your physical human heart desires, your angelic heart desires, and you are creating Nova Earth and the unfoldment of the plan and fulfilling your ascension all at once. I cannot emphasize to you, my beloved ones, how important this is. And it is not a guideline. This isn't, here's a helpful hint, perhaps you can use it, maybe it will work for you. I speak to you as the keeper of universal law. It is not malleable. It is a codex. It is the understanding of the truth of God, of how things work. So begin, my friends. And if you are in hesitation, if you are unclear, turn to me. Turn to Gabrielle. Turn to your guides. Turn to Michael. Turn to the Divine Mother. We are glad to help you. Now, do you wish to question?
Certainly. That would be wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us again. I do appreciate this series on universal law. It's very enlightening and expanding, just like the divine qualities, and this just goes a little bit further. I feel it might be helpful for our listeners to be reminded that each one of us is known quite well in the higher realms. Our thoughts and desires, as well as our triumphs and perceived shortcomings, both above and below, no one falls between the cracks. Would you please speak to that?
You have done so eloquently. Of course you are known extremely well, and perhaps more fully than you even know yourself. I do not say this in a dismissive way. It is just that our conscious memories, as you would think of it, are longer than yours. So, for example, when I look at one of you, any one of you, I see the magnificence of that spark of light as you originally emerged. I see your angelic self and the journey that you have had on other planets and on Earth. I see you in your many names, your many costumes and containers. We see the struggles. We see the doubt and frustration, the anger, the pain, the sorrow. We see the joy, the victories, the laughter, the love. And let us say, pain has been the most, and in pain I use all of all scripts, it has been the most devastating part of the experience of what the humans created in the third. And we know of that pain, and we seek to ease it, to soothe it, to remove it, while not interfering with your free will. But what amazes us as we gaze on you whether it was in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, or in France 1,000 years ago, or in Siberia, is even in the midst of hardship and pain, your capacity to love and to be loved and to express love, has never really dimmed. In the most challenging of circumstances, you have always proved yourself as the light beings who continue to love. You have no idea how extraordinary that is, and how we would do anything to keep that love alive. So what is it we're doing at this moment? Why are we talking in this way to you, which you must admit is highly unusual in terms of your society?
Yes.
Well, we are doing it because we want to grow and promote that love. You have always kept that flame, that candle, burning. Now we want you to know in your physical, conscious, everyday bodies and activities just how much of the love you are, just how connected to the universe you are. Do you fall through the cracks? Never. Because although you may not realize it, even though we say it, sometimes it falls on deaf ears. So I say it again. And I say it not only for myself, but for the Mother, for the Archangels, for the Masters, for your guides. I love you. What that means to us is that we are committed to you, not responsible, not an overriding parent, but we are committed not simply to group ascension, not even to your individual ascension. We are committed to the fulfillment of your heart and your dreams, your desires, because inside of that is the love, and inside of that is the ascension. Because if you look at your heart, you will notice that the quality of what you love and what you are desiring, even compared to last year, has changed. Now, are there tangible expressions of those desires? Of the desires of hope and gratitude and charity and generosity, yes. But I do not hear any of you saying that you want a Lamborghini What I hear you saying is you want transportation for everybody, and it would be better if they were space vehicles.
Yeah.
And if they are not space vehicles, then please let them be clean air vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I hear from you,
mm-hmm.
that you want food for the planet, and
yeah.
Gaia has plenty,
mm-hmm.
and it is not going to be genetically modified. It is going to be the bounty that she has always offered. These are the desires of your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And this is love. Now, how could you possibly express such loving desires if you were not love? So, yes, we hear you, and we know you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. If I may, I would like to ask a current events question.
Yes.
Primarily, what I would like to know is if there's any accuracy to the stories that mainstream media is feeding us regarding world events and aggression, or if the stories being told are in the category of false flags, specifically in terms of Syria at this time.
You have some expressions that you use on Earth. Slow news day.
Mm-hmm.
And when there is no news, they make up news.
Right.
Now, I am not suggesting that the violence and the conflict that rages in Syria is not true and real. It is a combination of things, so let me explain. And it works very well with our understanding and conversation today about above and below, within and without.
Perfect.
Why are the people in Syria, all factions, we do not favor factions, why are they not holding peace in their heart? Because when peace is in the heart, there cannot be outward aggression. Are people fleeing? Yes. Now let us also say that there are two categories of people fleeing, and we do not mean political categories. There are people who are fleeing because they are fearful. And I am not saying that it is just the fear that freezes. For some of them, it is fight or flight. For others, it is just nervous fear. So there is that category. And then there are those who are fleeing who are saying, this is a time of turmoil and upheaval, and this is my chance to move elsewhere. And because the borders will be open and refugees will be accepted, it is a chance to start a new life. So that is part of it. But the key to Syria is every person on the planet, yes, with Archangel Michael and with us, is to send the peace, the consideration, and the love to Syria. There is a collective energy that is coming to the surface, not just in Syria, but we are speaking of this, of inadequacy, a belief in the lack of self-worth, or in righteousness, but it is misplaced righteousness. It is not righteousness that is in accordance and alignment with the divine, which is love. It is a manipulated understanding. So is it a power struggle? Absolutely. Is it violent? Absolutely. Does it need to come to the surface to be eradicated rapidly? Not by the invasion with more violence, but with peace? Yes, it does. Because, let us use this example, and this is where a practical application of this law comes into form, and I would ask all of you to do this with me. There is no war above. Period. It is a place of harmony. It is not a place of turmoil. It is not a place of anger, frustration. If that does not exist. Therefore, there is no room for it below. So what you see is the alignment as if there is a cloud of heaven above Syria and the light is pouring down and that light is filled with Michael's blue flame of truth, of justice, and of peace. And from each of your hearts, you have the capacity to send directly to the heart of Syria, of Egypt, of Iraq, or Iran, that sense of peace. When you become outraged at atrocity, and you are correct, it is outrageous, but when you join into that energy of drama, then you are contributing to it. So you have need to align with the divine qualities and with divine law, and in that way, do not underestimate your strength. Collectively, you have the power to stop the factions fighting in this very moment. You send the energy of peace, and you hold that vision, and you do not tolerate or engage in any other vision.
May I ask specifically if the news that's being given to the world on what's going on in there is embellished, so to speak, in order to foment fear and negative reaction from people? I understand that our work is to, you know, hear the news, okay, and understand what's going on and send love and light to the area. At the same time, it feels like a possibility that the news coming out is enhanced, embellished, made seem worse than it actually is.
Let me suggest to you two things. There are very few news organizations on your planet that do not embellish,
okay,
that do not dramatize, that do not try to get the worst pictures and scenarios and go with that, because that is what they think people want, but it is also what lines their coffers. And I mean their coffers of power as well. So is it embellished? Of course. You may take that as a given.
Okay, specifically gas attacks, is that what's going on?
There are some gas attacks.
Okay. All right, well.
Now the second piece of what I say is the realization that any atrocity is horrendous. So So we do not wish to minimize the atrocity. What we wish to be very clear is that news organizations look for the worst and promote the worst.
Right. Right. I'm just wondering at what point the heavenly agenda becomes part and parcel of our news.
We are not interfering with the free will. But there was something that went unnoticed when Gabrielle has told you that the new grid is in place. And that new grid, dear heart, is part of the heavenly agenda. Mm-hmm. And it is also going to influence the collective behaviors enormously.
Okay.
You cannot stand or be part of the renewed golden grid and be dirty.
Right, exactly. All right. Okay, so I have one more question, then we can go on to callers. I was wondering if you could speak to the use of the tools we've been given for spiritual practice, not just the rituals and ceremonies, but crystals, rattles, bells, etc. We do love them, and they certainly do serve a purpose, but I've been wondering if the main purpose has been to get us used to being able to connect to our innate power, eventually to use them only if it pleases us and we enjoy the beauty of them.
You love tools. Humans love gadgets and toys. You think that you have grown up and matured, but you have not. So yes, and think about it. We love tools as well. Now, do we use them consistently or constantly? No. We have understood a long time ago that the intent and the use of your own power is significant. But you have been given these tools, such as crystals, rattles, amulets, because they do hold power. They magnify your power, particularly with crystals. They have come to you because they have Lemurian crystals, have your library of information. So they are amplifiers in and of their own right. And it is a way that you are connecting with the kingdoms. It is a way that you are coming very intimately to work in cooperation with the kingdoms. So, for example, a crystal can sit and send power and light for its entire lifetime, which is much longer than human. But when it is brought in conjunction with a human and the cooperation of energies comes together, there is an amplification. So, yes, there are things that do amplify each other. It is part of your expression wherever two or more are gathered, but it is not just two humans. It is two anything.
Ooh.
And are you able to create, to generate, to use those energies without the tools? Yes. For example, you have need to only visualize that you are holding a certain crystal, to be drawing and connecting with its power.
Ooh.
Or your rattle. So yes, but they are fun.
Yeah.
They are intended. Yes, they are sacred, but they are also fun.
Oh gosh, I love that about that being, you know, a tool being considered an other. That's really wonderful, like more than just me. That's a great, great information.
It is more than just you. It is one of your friends.
That's great. I mean, in my visualizations, I join with, you know, the masters and angels and, well, pretty much everybody. It's just all one big happy party. But, oh, that's wonderful. Okay, thank you. So shall we go on to some callers?
Yes, we may.
Wonderful. Thank you. So area code 928. Let's see. Area code 928, are you with us?
I am. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Yay. Just have a couple of quick questions, but first I just wanted to express my extreme gratitude to all of you at the Golden Age of Gaia website and the Company of Evan for all the assistance that you've given to us for so long. So thank you for all your efforts. Okay. I've been living a very simple life for a while now, and working under the table, haven't paid taxes for a few years, and I have invested in the Iraqi dinar, and I have been intending for it all to flow very smoothly with the IRS, you know, going from not paying taxes to having all this money. But occasionally doubt creeps in, and wanted to find out from you, Raj, if you have any thoughts on the best way to go about this, like with cashing in and taxes and all that, as far as to make it flow as smoothly as possible.
First of all, you hold the intention, not only in this transaction, but in all transactions, that you come from a place of ethics and heart, that you come from a place of fairness and oneness, and that you simply know that you proceed effortlessly. Do not create drama or allow your ego to bring you to doubt where there is no need. It is that simple.
Wonderful. Thank you. And by the way, the Hope Chest is going to be getting a sizable donation after the revaluation. Second question is, I have a very dear friend, long-term friend, who is very precious to me and has had a tremendously positive impact on my life for many years now. And he keeps encouraging me to get a passport because he has had a vision that things are going to be going downhill here in the U.S. and that I need to be prepared to leave the country as my life could be in danger. I don't feel that at all, and I wanted to see if you could look into his heart and see what's going on, and if this vision is coming from fear, if you could help to ease that in him.
He has need to release the fear, and if he asks for help, it is certainly our honor and our pleasure to work with him. But it is buying into drama. The reason, if you wish to get a passport, is simply because you wish to go exploring and journey all over the planet. That is the reason, not because there is civil strife.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I very much appreciate all your help.
Wonderful. You are welcome, dear heart.
Okay, beautiful. All right, we are on to area code 206. Good morning. Are you with us?
Yes,
hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, hello.
You're on the air. Hello. You're on the air.
Hello, Raj. Have one question for you. This is about when you're only on the spirit, like a spirit, what is the limitation that a spirit, just an spirit has? It can travel through the universe? Or what happens when you don't have any, incarnation? I mean, when you don't qualify for any incarnation because you have negated yourself the possibility of get one.
There is no need for a physical form. And I do have what you would think of as a form. My home planet is Venus. And I often return there and reside there, if you can think of it that way. There are no limitations about how one can move or act. You do not need a hand, a physical hand, to open a door. You do not need physical eyes to see. It is actually quite liberating, my friend.
Okay. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Farewell.
Okay. All right. So we don't have an area code for this person. Yellow Spectral Human. You are on the air. Good morning. Are you with us?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Can I have... Can you
hear me? I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hi.
Fabulous. Can I have a name for you?
Because
it'll be hard to get all that into the transcript.
Hi, yes. This is Nyasha calling from Perth, Western Australia.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yes, I have a question. I've been getting... Sorry. I've got a cold.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been getting guidance in the form of music and like in the number plates. So I had a personal one I wanted to ask. I saw a number plate written 1-ASK-369, and I was just wondering what it could mean for me.
These are simply numbers, sacred numbers, the embodiments of ones and threes that you work with, dear heart. So it is part of your soul signature. That is what it is. So you are particularly attuned to trouble. You are particularly attuned to triangle. So you work with threes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
You are welcome.
All right. So we are on to area code 520. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay, good morning. My question is, what is the best way to utilize the golden grid that Gabrielle was talking about and Sanat made reference to for the most positive manifestations?
All is operating, and when I say all, I mean throughout the multi-omniverse. All is upon a golden grid. Now, we have taken it upon ourselves, and this has been particularly the work of Archangel Gabriel, to yet again repolish and reinforce the golden grids, both of each person individually, humanity collectively, the planet, and further on. So you know that if you are to look at yourself etherically, one of the forms in which you would see yourself is as a golden grid. Now, you are not a golden grid that is separate off of the golden grid. It is a grid within a grid within a grid. When you are operating, when you are meditating, make sure every day that you, as you look at your sacred self, that you have not tarnished or sullied your grid. Simply shine it up. Take away the dust specks every single day. Make sure that there are no tears and no breaks in your grid. Then when you are working with creation, everything slides, travels upon the grid. So when the channel has done the meditation, for example, with you earlier this day, what you have called to your heart has traveled throughout the multiverse along this golden grid. So the idea is to see where what you are wishing to create, to bring forward, where it is located on this renewed grid, and then simply ask it to be transported to you. But tend to your own grid as well. It is to make sure that nothing that is not of that gold sinks in. Is this clear?
It is. Could you give me a few more specifics on ways that you can clean your own personal grid in meditation?
You can etherically take a white silk cloth and polish your grid. You can use the all-purpose rainbow salve to clean it. It is etheric. It has all rays, all colors. It is usually used in healing, but it is applicable here. You may use Gabrielle's golden elixir to recoat it, to shine it up as well. But the key is to become aware of your grid. And when I say your grid, I also mean not your body, but your full field. So do not just pay attention to your physical form. That is the center of your grid. But go further out into your expanded auric field as well, and make sure your emotional body, your mental body, your causal body, your astral bodies, that is all clear and bright and shiny as well.
What if you're a perfectionist and never can seem to be satisfied with your grid?
Then that, dear heart, is a vasana. You are not seeing the beauty of who you are. That is a lack of self-worth. And I would suggest that you immediately ask Archangel Michael to help you remove it. It has no place within you, and it is certainly not part of your grid.
So then every morning when you're doing your meditation and cleaning your grid, feel satisfied that you accomplished cleaning your grid?
Feel astonished and amazed and overwhelmed at the beauty of your grid. Satisfied isn't even close enough. Celebrate it, dear heart. It is beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you. Understood. Thank you very much.
Hey, beautiful.
You're well.
All right, that was good. All right, area code 949. Are you with us?
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Hello, Sanakumara. I have a question for you in regards of the sun. I hear so much things going on, like it's supposedly in September or October, the sun is going to be in this 11.5 cycle, and it's going to do like a change poles and maybe some explosions. And my question for you, do you think it will be something that will benefit the way the consciousness of humanity, or at the same time it's going to be a chaos for humanity? Can you explain that, please?
No, the sun is in her own evolutionary cycle, but what is occurring in the sun in the near future has absolutely no impact. Are there solar flares that create magnetic or electrical fields? Yes, but you are well shielded from these. So do not create a drama where there is none.
Beautiful.
Okay. And one more question. Can you please tell me more about the power of crystals? I mean, I know they help to transmute, you know, negative energy, but I want to use them more with that intention of the benefit. Can you please explain?
The crystals. Understand, the crystals are beings and a collection of energy unto themselves. They have their own power, mm-hmm. and what they are known for so often in the human realm is that they are amplifiers. But each crystal, every rock and crystal upon the planet has its own mission and purpose. So when you hold a crystal, it is best that you go into meditation, because they mm-hmm. are following the law of above and below.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought their energy into this form with a very specific purpose. Ask the crystal what its sacred mission and purpose is. Let it share with you what it is. And then in conjunction with it, let it assist you and you assist it in the fulfillment of that mission and purpose. So there are healing crystals. There are channeling crystals. There are crystals that simply wish to be amplifiers. There are transmitters. There are libraries. Ask the crystal what its purpose is, rather than try and do an overlay of programming.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You are welcome, sweet angel.
Okay. We've only got a couple minutes left, so we'll make this a quickie. Area code 225. Are you with us?
Hi, I am. This is
Hi,
Catherine.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you, Raj, for this opportunity. I have been doing some automatic writing, and it has just been a wonderfully profound thing that has been happening. And the writing seemed to be of love and of light and very pretty and meaningful. And when I shared them with somebody, a religious person, they seemed to be somewhat fearful and suggested that there's a possibility that I could even be letting in darkness, even though the words were so delightful. So I guess I'm a little afraid that maybe I should not be doing this, and maybe you can share something on that. And also I'm wondering what a gatekeeper is. I had a dream of the word gatekeeper, and I've heard a little bit about some other light workers, but I'm not quite sure I know what that is.
Well, first of all, when you are channeling in any form, there is a method of preparation and of sealing the space. And so you would always seal the space with prayer, with light, with crystals, with meditation. You do not simply begin and sit down and do your automatic writing, even though you are mightily protected by your guides and friends. The second thing that you would do, dear heart, is always to ask, who is writing to identify themselves.
Okay.
And in this way, you ensure the purity and the clarity of what is coming through. Do not allow the fears of those who do not understand what is available to humans to dissuade you from doing your work.
Okay.
A gatekeeper is one, and it is an ascension assignment that basically is helping people through the portal of ascension.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, Raj, we have less than a minute. Could you maybe speak to what next week is going to be about?
Next week is going to be about the law of change. And my beloved friends, I am going to step aside, because the Universal Mother, the Divine Mother, has asked to address this issue with you. So I will be in full attendance, but she will be the voice and the primary guest. It will be a very exciting show.
Yeah.
So please come and join us. But in the meanwhile, practice the law of above and below, within and without. Slide upon your golden grid. And call me, for I am with you.
Thank you.
Always. Go in peace, my beloved ones.